All right. On the map here, as you can see, is God's plan of the ages. Now, we've started all the way back in eternity past. We studied angels and demons and all that. We came where God had created man, put him in the garden, okay? And he sinned. We are under the age of conscience. We have man failed again, failure, wickedness. Then God brings the flood upon the earth, okay? Destroys all mankind. And then he sets up human government under what man? What's the guy's name? Noah. All right, Noah. All right. And their responsibility at that time in Noah's day was what? Right on the map.
Before the flood or after?
After the flood. Scatter and multiply. Did they scatter and multiply?
Yes.
What did they do? They built the Tower of Babel and the great city of Babylon. Okay? That's what happened. They didn't do it. Okay? And so God did what? Confused the languages and divided the continents. You don't want to know how everybody got over here on the continent of America and everything and where all the continents became? It says, in the days of Peleg, God divided the earth. Peleg means divided. That's where the word Pharisee came from. Set apart or divided. Okay? And the languages, and the earth was divided, and we have the promise of Abraham. All right? And Abraham, the way he traveled is the way you saw in the movie today. Okay? And we have the Egyptian bondage. For over 400 years, God called them out. And now they go back into the edge of the promised land. And they were afraid they wouldn't go. They wouldn't go in. Remember, they wouldn't go in. They were afraid. Joshua and Caleb says, let us have it. We'll go and take the giants, the Nephilim. We'll get them. Let us have them. Which was where? Where did they live? Right there where Abraham was buried. Right around Hebron. All right, that's where the giants were. Right around where Abraham had a deed to that land there. He had a deed to that. That's the oldest deed known in the world as far as I know. What do you think? Brother Benson, am I right? That's the oldest deed known in the world. Right there, the deed of the cave of Machpelah in Hebron. Well, anyway, they wouldn't go. And God made them. They went out there. How long did they go in and spy out the promised land? How many days was it? 40 days. All right. Now, for every day that they spied out the promised land, how long were they wandering in the wilderness?
40 years.
All right. Now we have God giving them the law. And we have the building of the tabernacle. We've studied everything about the tabernacle so far. We even talked about the priest's garments and everything before, so we have an idea about all that. The last thing and the crowning jewel of the tabernacle was what?
Holy in the Ark of the Covenant.
All right. Kadesh HaKadoshim and the Ark of the Covenant. All right. The Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant. That's what it was. That's the whole crowning event. Because where did God dwell?
Between the cherubim.
The cherubim. All right. Now, astrologists.
For the propitiation.
Now, like I said, I'm not a very good artist. But here are two cherubim. What does the word cherubim mean? Cherubim.
Covering.
Plural. Huh?
Plural.
It's plural. It's cherub, singular, but it's talked about cherubim here. There's two of them here. They're angels with wings. That's what a cherubim is. What is the word cherubim? Let's go back in Hebrew. I got it written down someplace. On about 500 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs, it tells you about the word cherubim. Okay? The word cherubim. It gets the idea of wings. Okay? Now, what happened, Satan do in the book of, or Lucifer do in the book of Job? What was one of the first things, what great catastrophes that he caused there in the book of Job? What did he do?
Yes,
well, he accused, all right, but what was one of the greatest catastrophes?
It was a great wind storm, wasn't it? A storm. The idea in cherubim or cherubs is wind. All right? And the wind is stirred up by what? Wings of the cherubim. And the idea is a wind, a powerful wind, powerful being, but also it has the idea of holding fast. Power of holding fast. Let's look at this now. Let's go to the 25th chapter of Exodus. Exodus 25. Exodus chapter 25. All right. Exodus. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Those first five books of Moses. Sister Randino.
I have on my notes that cherubim is
witnesses. Well, we're going to get to that too. Oh, okay. We're going there. All right, they're witnesses. That's what the two cherubim, the Bible says in the Old Testament, by two or three witnesses let everything be established. So here we have witnesses. We have angels as witnesses. How many angels came with the Lord when he spoke to Abraham right over in this period of time?
Two
angels with the Lord. All right, so we have two angels there. Two witnesses. All right. Brother Missick, are you there in Exodus 25 and verse 10 through 22? Alright. So now we have a box, is what it is, a box. The Ark of the Covenant, we had an ark that Noah built, didn't he? What did Noah build? It was more of a box than a boat. It was a container to carry all these people, but it was watertight. Okay? Now here we have another box, and it's made out of shittim wood. The word is a shittim wood. Alright? And that shittim is the Hebrew term. What is the translation? Acacia. Acacia wood. Alright? The Hebrew is shittim. Now it's made out of wood. Now the two, we again, over and over and over again, we have emphasized in the Bible what is the whole tabernacle about? The purpose of the tabernacle. What's it all about? God said, I want to dwell with my people. I want to dwell with my people. So, what we have here in the Ark of the Covenant and the whole tabernacle, everything in this tabernacle typify the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, you have a lot of cults and isms out there in the world today that don't believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. You know that? That's right. We have some out there that don't believe in the person of Jesus Christ as human. They didn't think he was ever really human. They just thought he was this floating round spirit while he was there on this earth. Both of those ideas are false, by the way. Now, if they studied the tabernacle and all the instruments of the tabernacle and everything, they would see that God wants us to know who he is. The tabernacle is a revelation of God. Okay? That's what it is, a revelation of God. Now, let's go back and look at what it says here in your little on page 64 in that handout that I gave you. The general directions. It was furniture for the Holy of Holies. It was a chest or a box of acacia wood covered within and without with gold. It was basically 45 inches by 27 inches or 3 3/4 feet by about a 2 1/4 feet. Okay, that's what it... What size? It wasn't very big, was it? It wasn't very big. All right, here's this object here. And around the top was a border of gold. There was a ring on each corner. It was carried by poles passing through the rings. The poles were of acacia wood covered with gold, were never be removed. And the covering was a mercy seat. This is a kafar, or hilosmos in Greek. Kafar, or hilosmos. All right, here's this part of it, right here. Now, what is the box made out of?
Acacia wood covered with gold.
Acacia wood. Wood stands for what in the Bible?
Man.
Humanity.
Humanity.
All right. So now we have the person of Jesus Christ. He was human, wasn't he? All right. And the name Jehovah. I mean, all Jewish people call Jehovah what? When they come to the name Jehovah. All right. When they come to that name right there, they say Adonai. Mm-hmm. Never Jehovah. They don't know how to say that name. They didn't pronounce that name. When God gave Moses the Ten Commandments over here, what we call the Ten Commandments are the law. Okay? In the law it says, thou shalt not use the Lord Jehovah, thy Lord's name, in vain. So they never spoke his name after that. They would refer to him as Adonai. All right? They would come to that name when they were writing the Old Testament. They could make a mistake on any word and erase it and rewrite any word in the Old Testament. But if they made a mistake on the name of Jehovah, they had to bury the manuscript.
Did they misunderstand what they were talking about?
They were afraid. The very holiness of his name, they were afraid to use it from that time on in history. So when the Jews, when you hear a rabbi, I have the whole Old Testament written, read in Hebrew. Every time this rabbi reads the name of Jehovah, he will not say Jehovah, he will say Adonai Elohim. Adonai Elohim. He'll say Jehovah God. Jehovah God, Adonai. Okay? They will not use the term Jehovah. They don't use that term at all. If you ask them, how do you say this? They say Adonai. But that's not Adonai. That's not it. My Hebrew teacher told me, I asked him, I said, how do you say this name? And he said, the only way that even can be said is this, Yah. Just like that. Yah. He said, there's no way to say it. You can't say it, but it would be just, oh. And what is that when you breathe out like that? That's breath, isn't it? And it is, what is Haya in Hebrew? It's life. Life. This holy name. They were afraid to use this name. They didn't speak his name. Okay? That name was holy. All right? And, all of this tells about the God of heaven. It's revelation. Okay? This is a revelation of God. This is a perfect revelation of our Savior. Okay? So we have wood, which typifies humanity. We have gold, which typifies what?
Deity.
So we have human and we have God. Humanity and God. In the same person. John 1:14 says, Kaihologos arxigenetum. Okay, that's what it says in Greek. It says, and the word are the Jehovah flesh sarx he became. Now in Genesis 1 and 2, there's a little verb there in Genesis 1 and 2. It says, we ha'aretz, the earth, tasya, she became. That's the first place that the root of the term or the name of Jehovah is used in the Old Testament. The earth, she became. All right? Now, what does God? God has always existed, hasn't he? Way back here in eternity past, hasn't he? God always is. But in space and time, he became. What does the name Jehovah mean? He who shall become. Now, the tabernacle is talking about God dwelling with his people. John 1:14. Someone go to John 1:14 now. Let's look at it because that's what it's talking about. I know I keep repeating this over and over again. I hope you can just do it in my memory. Because this is very important. All right? John 1:14. Are you there, Rebecca?
No.
Okay, can you read that for me?
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace.
All right, and the Word, the Jehovah, dwelt among us. He became flesh. He dwelt among us. The word dwelt there is the word tabernacle. Guess what the tabernacle stood for? It stood for what was going to happen. This is our last lesson on the tabernacle. And it's talking about the person of Jesus Christ. Now this tabernacle in the most holy place, the Kadesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, alright? In that Holy of Holies was this Ark of the Covenant. In that Ark of the Covenant was what? What was placed inside of it? Alright? The commandments of God. Now the first time, I want you to pay attention to this, the first time that God produced the Ten Commandments are the what they call the Ten Words in Hebrew. Have you ever heard that used, the Ten Words? The Ten Words is what they call it in Hebrew. He put the laws there, what we call the Decalogue. God cut out from stone, he cut out. Jehovah cut out the plates, okay? And he wrote on those plates the commandments. God told Moses, right in the minute of receiving all of the commandments of God, he told Moses, go down off the mountain. He said, there's some bad stuff going on down there. So he went down there, and when he got down there, he saw them dancing around, and they had built an idol. They had taken... This is really weird. You find out what happened back then. They had taken a wooden form and carved it into a calf, and then wood... Alright? Wood stands for humanity. And they had covered it with gold. And who did the job? Who was the goldsmith among this bunch?
Aaron.
Alright? Aaron's name means what? What's Aaron's name mean? It's Frank in English. Aaron's name, Frank, is what Aaron means. In Greek, it's photios, or phos.
Light.
Light, or enlightenment. Aaron was supposed to be an enlightened, okay? Now, Aaron carved this wooden calf out of it. He didn't do it overnight. He was doing this. And he pounded this gold all around it like this. Bad. You know, this is blasphemy, people. And then he said, this is Jehovah that brought you out of Egypt. And they bowed down and worshipped that calf. As if he was God. Do you see the terrible implications of this? Once you get to that, I saved this for last, people. That golden calf that was made out of wood and then covered, and then what did Aaron do, or what did Moses do to that golden calf? He set it on fire and burned it and pounded it up and made them drink it. He said, eat your God. This represented God. But I guarantee you, God, Jehovah, was not that wooden calf with gold plated wooden calf. All right. Let's go on around here now. The ark was prepared for the law, and it went inside with the tables of stone. When Moses came down off the mountain and he saw him out there, what did he do with the tables of stone? He threw them down and broke them. Why did he do it? Was he mad? No. He was probably mad, all right, but that wasn't the reason why he broke the tablets of God. He said, you already did this. All he did was show them what they had done. Where are those tablets today? Who knows? He may have ground them up and made them eat that too. I don't know. But then the next time when he went back up on the mountain, I mean, it cost a lot of people's lives there that day. When he went back up on the mountain, where did the tables of stone come from? Who made the tables of stone? Who cut out the tables of stone? Aaron did. Aaron did it. Aaron was now our mediator, a type of Christ. Okay? But who wrote the commandments on the stone plates that he cut out? All right? Look at it again. Moses was a type of Christ, wasn't he? He was a type of our mediator. What profession? We know this today. What profession would... He wasn't a carpenter, by the way. Jesus was not a carpenter. He was a stonemason. Aaron cut the plates out of stone like a stonemason. All the terms that Jesus used while he was talking to his church, when he called it out, was terms that were stonemason terms. Matthew 16 and 18, he says, "You're Peter, a little stone, a Petros. But upon this gigantic Petra, I shall be building my church, and the gates of hell shall not wrestle her down." All right? Who did Peter say the great rock was? Jesus. Who followed Israel in the wilderness? Jesus, the rock that followed Israel. Jehovah is the rock of our salvation. All right. Every bit of this, okay? As we see it. All right. Now, in there was kept... Now, we have a wooden box covered with gold. We had a wooden calf covered with gold, which was blasphemy, people. That was blasphemy.
Word of God.
Here. Well, it was just... It was a false religion, is what it was. They were saying they were worshiping Jehovah. They called the calf Jehovah. We got people out there, they call themselves Jehovah Witnesses. Okay? Now, the box that we have here, which typifies Jesus Christ. Now, in Him, in Christ, is what? The law.
In His heart.
And what?
In His heart.
In His heart. Mm-hmm. The law was in His heart. All that Jesus ever did in this world while He was here, He existed for one person, for one purpose. He existed to be our Redeemer. The whole book of Ruth tells us about the kinsman Redeemer, the Goel. All right? Tells us about the Goel, the kinsman Redeemer. All right, what else was in the Ark of the Covenant? What's another thing? Now, what? A jar of manna. And here's the difference also. In the Hebrew, it says a jar of manna, or part of manna. And the Septuagint, what does it say? Anybody you remember? I was teaching the book of Hebrews now. You got anybody here? Nobody. Where are you, David? Is he gone? He's gone. That other David's gone. All right, he would know that. It was a golden jar in the Septuagint translation, but it really is just a jar. Okay? Of manna. 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 What does that mean?
What is it?
All right. And what else was in that Ark of the Covenant? Very important. It was a rod. What was the rod made out of? An almond limb. All right. As far as we know, too, on these rods that they had back then, they had the whole history of the families carved upon them. Did you know that? The whole history of all this was carved, the family, the man's name and everything. This may have been Abraham's rod that he carried way back when. This was passed down the patriarch. All right? The patriarch of the family carried the rod from generation to generation, okay? That was in the Ark of the Covenant. What happened one time when the children of Israel were saying that we don't want to go to a Levitical priesthood. We want to stay with a patriarchal system. God said, "Well, you take all of your so-called priests and I'll take mine out here. Let them throw their family rods down." And what happened? Aaron's rod bloomed. That rod that was that almond branch that probably was handed down from generation to generation bloomed. Not only did it bloom, it had what? Almonds on it. And that said, "This is my man." All right, this is my man. Now, again, the candlestick, the candelabra, it had six branches and one in the middle. The six and six was made up of three and three. Triune, triune, triune man, triune God. Putting man and God together. It was made out of solid gold, which is deity. And in the middle was a seventh one. Jesus, putting God and man together, our mediator. Okay? It's made out of gold. And what does that candelabra look like? Branches of a almond tree. All right. Coming together?
Yeah.
Coming together. All right. Now let's look on down. The one ark had two materials that it was made out of. Wood, humanity; gold, deity. All you saw of the ark, when you looked at the ark, was what? Gold. Gold. You couldn't see the inside of it. You want to see what God is like? Read the four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You'll see Jesus in and around Israel there were four flags representing in the future the four Gospels, four witnesses of the person of Jesus Christ. The images in Ezekiel and in the book of Revelation have four faces. The four faces was the same type of four faces that were on the flags or the standards that were around the tabernacle, how the tribes of Israel, there it is right there. Like this. All right, you see it right there. You see the four flags. They represented the four Gospels. You see Jesus Christ as God-man. The Gospel of Matthew, how does it show Jesus Christ? As the King of Israel. All right. The Gospel of John. Let's go from Matthew to John now. How does John look at Jesus Christ? As gold. Pure deity. God became flesh and dwelt among us. It says that God led Himself out of eternity into space and time in the person of Jesus Christ. And we beheld the glory of the only begotten what? The only begotten what?
God.
The only begotten God. Because He is God. Alright? The only begotten God. Period. Yeah. The only begotten God. And He dwelt among us and we saw His glory. Alright? That's what we see. The glory. Now let's get up here to the poles that they carried with. They could never touch this box again. They can never touch this box again. By the way, if you... My opinion is... Now, I know there's a lot of opinions. How many of you got this thing on 2 Maccabees? Anybody got it? I've handed it out before. This Ark of the Covenant got lost. By the way, the Ark of the Covenant was only in two different places historically. Where was it? The Tabernacle and where else? Who else doesn't have one of these?
Jerusalem.
Huh?
Jerusalem.
Well, in Jerusalem, all right.
In
Solomon's temple.
Yeah.
It wasn't any place else.
No.
It wasn't Herod's temple.
I see on the left.
I need one of them back for a minute. You got two of them? Okay. Oh, that's it. Okay. Let's look at this. Just second chapter of Maccabees. Maccabees basically is the history where it talks about the Maccabee family. What does the Maccabees mean? What does Maccabee mean in Hebrew? Anybody know?
Hammer.
Hammer. Thank you. Hammer. It means hammer in Hebrew. The Maccabees took Jerusalem back from Antiochus Epiphanes and they rededicated the temple in about 185 B.C., I think it was. I won't swear to that, but I think it was around 185 B.C. They started the Feast of what? Okay. The Feast of
Lights
or Hanukkah. Hanukkah. All right? And that's where they rededicated the temple. And then there was eight different candlesticks. Sound technician and everything else. Anyway, let's go on. The Ark of the Covenant was only in the tabernacle in Solomon's temple. Okay. Now we have who carried off Israel? Who was the man that came against Israel? Remember when God sent a king to overtake Israel and to chastise them?
Nebuchadnezzar.
All right. Now, this Second Maccabees, now, the Maccabees, the Jewish people believed was historically accurate. Okay? We've had, ever since the Raiders of the Lost Ark, we've had all kinds of fantastic stories about the Ark of the Covenant. You know, what was his name? Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark and all this. We've had all kinds of stories. I mean, I've heard millions of stories. Not, well, at least 50 different ones.
The Ethiopians have it
that the Queen of Sheba took the real one down there. I don't believe that. Okay. Then we have the story that the Ark of the Covenant was hidden underneath the Golgotha for Jesus when he was crucified, that the blood dripped off there and went down and dripped upon the telosmos, the kafar, kafareth. Okay? But here in Maccabees, it basically tells us what happened, okay, to the Ark of the Covenant. Okay? And the Jews accepted this for over 1,000 years. It's not inspired, but this is a story. Now let's read it. The hidden ark during the captivity. Now it was found in the descriptions of Jeremiah, the prophet. Jeremiah, you know who that was. Okay? Jeremiah the prophet, that he commanded them that they went into captivity to take the fire. And in another place it says Jeremiah being warned of God. Okay? As it has been signified, how that he gave charge to them that were carried away into captivity, and how he gave them the law that they should not forget the commandments of the Lord, and that they should not err in their minds, seeing the idols of gold and silver and the ornaments of them, and with other things like speeches he exhorted them, and that they would not remove the law from their heart. It is also contained in the same writing how that the prophet, being warned by God, commanded that the tabernacle itself, I really believe that I don't think God would allow that tabernacle, which typified Him, to be touched by profane hands.
Right.
Okay?
Look what happened to the Philistines.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Look what happened to the Philistines at that time. Okay? That the ark should be accompany him till he came forth to the mountain where Moses went up and saw the inheritance of God, and I stood on that spot. Have you stood there, Brother Lindsay? I stood on that spot and saw the promised land where Moses looked at it. And when Jeremiah came there, he found a hollow cave, and he carried it in there, thither the tabernacle and the ark and the altar of incense, and he stopped the door, and then some of them followed him and came up to mark the place, but they could not find it. And when Jeremiah perceived it, he blamed them, saying, "The place shall be unknown till God gather the congregation of the people and receive them to mercy." Mm-hmm. I really, personally believe that is true. And I believe that in the last days that they will find the real Ark of the Covenant, the real tabernacle, and really establish it. And I probably think it's probably at this time right over here in the end. Now, they've always had a facsimile. They had a facsimile when Jesus was here. Jesus never walked into the Kadesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, or even the Holy Place. Not in the first room or the second room of Herod's temple. Either one. Of course, that was a false deal anyway. Herod wasn't supposed to be king. All right. Now let's go on. He stood out there in the courtroom out around that area. He went in there and cleansed the area. He beat them up, turned over the benches, and told them their religion was bankrupt and all this. He took it over because the king took over the kingdom right there. Israel lost all authority when Jesus went in there and took over his kingdom. All right. Now we're talking about the mercy seat, the hilasmos, the kafaret, right here, this one, this place. What was it made out of? What is the mercy seat, the hilasmos, made out of?
Only gold.
Only gold. Only gold. Only gold. Pure gold. Beaten gold. Beaten gold.
Jonah chapter 2 verse 1 says salvation is of the Lord.
Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation only is of the Lord. Now we have God tasting death on the cross of Calvary. Not even mention humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But God tasted the agonies of death on the cross of Calvary. Now his blood. Now every year, once a year, only once a year could a high priest come in here. That was talking about that the offering that would be given only hapax, only once. One time. That's a Greek word that keeps referring it over and over again. The Jew uses that word hapax, and he said, for the faith that was once and for all delivered unto the saints. All right, and it in the book of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews says over and over again, once Jesus was offered, one time. The high priest going into the Holy of Holies once a year, one time a year, to make that offering on the day of what? Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Now, what is the mercy seat called?
Kafar
or atonement.
Or atonement.
That is the mercy seat, the atonement seat is what it is, the atonement seat. Just think about it for a minute.
Propitiation.
Yeah, propitiation. 1 John 2 and 2. Somebody go there real quick because it tells the story. 1 John 2 and 2. First John 2 and 2. Very beautiful place. Are you there, Brother Mincy?
He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
He is the mercy seat. That's what it literally says. That's the word mercy seat. You go trace that back into right in the Old Testament where the word translates mercy seat is. He is our mercy seat. What does this typify? Jesus Christ. All right, He is the mercy seat. Now, looking around here, what do you see around the edge of the mercy seat? What was it? It was a crown. A crown. When was Jesus crowned King of Israel?
As soon as He snatched the
thorn?
Satan.
Okay. Not really. Now, yes, He had a crown of thorns on His head. Yes, that's true. When was He crowned?
He's never been on David's throne.
Okay. Okay.
Pentecost.
But when did Israel accept Him and say, Hosanna? Blessed and holy is He that comes in the name of the Lord. When did they accept Him the first time? The triumphant entry. Did He have a crown on then? They gave Him a crown. It wasn't this crown. It wasn't a crown of gold. It wasn't the diadem that it talks about in the book of Revelation. But they put a crown on Him. They threw palm leaves down in front of Him. He walked right into Jerusalem. He went in there and took it over. They were selling money. They were selling sacrifices in His place. He came in there, and what were the words that He said?
Taken my father's house.
You have taken my father's house and turned it into a den of thieves. And he braided a whip. You go back in history when the word bankrupt, it meant broken bench. And they had turned the temple of God into a bank. Into a bank. And they had benches sitting out there like in a pagan temple. And they were marketing the sacrifices. He said, you've turned my father's house into a den of thieves. Well, they were making a lot of money on it too. Who was over that?
The high priest.
The high priest was over this. What was he saying? This was a direct slap in the face of the high priest.
Yeah.
He said, you are defunct. You get an F minus today.
Uh-huh.
Failure.
He wasn't even kosher anyhow because Herod kicked out the real high priest and appointed these guys.
Yeah. This was all this was what you call a political mess.
Mm-hmm.
Herod was a descendant of whom? Who is the promised son, Esau or Jacob? Jacob. Herod was a descendant of whom?
Esau.
Jacob. I mean Esau. Esau, that is. Esau. Not Jacob, but Esau. Thank you. I didn't mean to say that. I thought one thing and something else come out of my mouth. I do that too much in my old age. He was a descendant of Esau, not Jacob. the wrong man was on the throne. How they could even say, this is the king of Israel? This will be the king of Edom. Esau. Okay? Going a little further. He took it over. He whipped them. Turned over the benches. If you look up the word in etymology, the history of the word bankrupt, you'll find out in the pagan temples, when a priest, they had priests there with banks. Okay? They had a bench set up, and people could take their money and invest it in this pagan temple in the bank. And if a priest was found unworthy, he was taken out and whipped publicly. His bench was broken. In other words, he was bankrupt, and they crucified him or capital punishment. Now let's look at the story now when Jesus came into the temple area. He said, you are bankrupt. He turned over the benches. He whipped them. And then what did they do? This is the king that took over. They whipped him. And they killed him. The malefactors were Israel and the high priest and the Sanhedrin court. They tried him illegally. They did everything illegally. Even Pilate said 5 times that he is innocent. He washed his hands. And they called for his death. They were guilty of the blood of Jehovah, their king. And he told them, he said, you will not see me again until you say what? Blessed and holy is he that came in the name of the Lord. That's what they said the first time when he went into Jerusalem. The next time when he comes in, he's going to come in. He rode a donkey that time, didn't he?
Yeah.
What's he going to ride the next time?
A white horse.
A white horse. All right, let's go on. Now above this Papyrus, atonement, there are two cherubim. The word cherubim, it means wind, it means powerful, it means to hold. Okay? And every time in the Old Testament when something happened, God had witnesses for it. Even when God made the covenant with Abraham and he talked to him and told him he was going to have a child, and he confirmed that covenant, there were how many people there? When I was in Damascus, Syria, they gave me the meal that Abraham fed to the angels and to the Lord. I got it. I told you about it. Yeah, it was real yummy. The camel's yogurt. The curds. And the young fatted calf. You know, I got this when I was there, you know. And anyway, he gave that to the Lord and the two witnesses. Okay? Then we have here, we come to the Ark of the Covenant, and here are two witnesses, the cherubim, two angels above the Ark of the Covenant. Every year on the Day of Atonement, two witnesses would testify that the sins of the people were given, and they would blow what? The shofar, the trumpet. And at that moment, their sins were forgiven. Let's think about that. At that moment, their sins were forgiven. All right. Now here the angels stand. Now what do they mean in your life today? The two angels. They're witnesses. What two periods of time in your life are you going to have witnesses? These angels. What?
When you accept
Jesus Christ. That's forgiveness. That's the helosmos. That's the atonement. Alright. And when's the other time? Thank you, brother.
Hold that thought.
Turn that old antique tape over. Now, when's the next time you see the two angels? One of them is when you're born again. The day the atonement is applied. And what's the other one? When you're taken home through the veil. Where was the Ark of the Covenant? In the tabernacle. All right, as you look at this thing right here, if you don't have one of these, I'll get you one of them to you. What stood between the holy place and the Kadesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies? A veil. What keeps you out of heaven today? The
flesh.
The veil of your flesh. That's the only thing standing between you and heaven or you and hell if you're not a child of God. That's the only thing, is the flesh. That's what keeps us out of the presence of God, is our flesh, because we can't stand in the presence of God in our flesh, can we? But once we lay it down, the two witnesses come and take you home and escort you home, or them other ones come and escort you to the wrong place. the place you don't want to go. The place you don't want to go. There was a place on in Fort Smith, Arkansas, called Hell on the Border. How many of you ever heard of that?
No.
Old Judge Isaac Parker. Judge Isaac Parker. How many watched the movie True Grit or Rooster Cogburn?
Mm-hmm.
All right. It showed Hell on the Border. You remember when John Wayne brought up his prisoners? They had them in an iron cage, and they took them and let them down into that terrible place, and they were gagging and going on. That place was so terrible, there was no restroom facilities down. There were three tiers of it. The murderers got to be in the bottom. The second ones were the less terrible criminals, and the top ones were those that were guilty of bootlegging or something like that or whatever. The ones that were guilty of murder were in the bottom. They put them down there. And then that place, the smell and the stench was so bad, the people in the courtrooms above, the court was above, that's where Isaac Parker said, they would be gagging. People had, if you ever seen a picture of any of that, they've got handkerchiefs over their mouths from the smell. They would put perfume or something and put handkerchiefs over there. My great-grandfather was in that Hell on the Border for about 6 months. There's a book written about him, Shadow of an Indian Star. He was the real John Wayne. He was a real Rooster Cogburn that the stories were written about. That was Sam Paul. That was my mother's great-grandfather. The things that he did, Isaac Parker kept trying to hang him. If you see in the movie True Grit and Rooster Cogburn, you see the old Judge Parker saying, "Why did you have to kill him? How many men did you kill?" And they counted them up one time. You know how many men my grandfather killed? 17. He was that guy. But they thought about that place as hell down there. My grandfather was in there for about 6 months. It almost killed him. He lost 30 or 35 pounds. He was dying of lung disease and everything. But I'm going to tell you something. That's just called Hell on the Border, but there's a real place called hell.
Amen.
It's going to be a whole lot worse than that. They're going to be breathing the fumes of burning sulfur. Forever. And the thing about it is, their bodies there will not burn up. Their bodies are going to be in Hebrew, not in Hebrew, but in Greek, asbestos. You know what asbestos means? You can't burn it. If you've ever got asbestos, you can put a flame, a torch right on it, it doesn't touch it. That's the way their bodies in that hell are going to be. Or you can go right through the beatific vision into the palace of God. Which one do you want? I mean, just think about it. But what you do with your life, how do you get in those places? To go to hell, what do? Just absolutely nothing. How do you get a ticket to hell? Just do nothing. Just do what you want to do and you'll get there. You don't have to get a ticket. You already got it. You're inherited from Adam. Now, how do you get into heaven? You hear the preaching or read the Word of God. You get conviction of the Holy Spirit according to convicted according to sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. It's real, people. You call out to the God of heaven to save your soul. And He applies that atonement that this Ark of the Covenant represented. Our Jesus paid it all for us. All we have to do is repent of our sins and call upon Him, and the application, the atonement, is applied. The atonement is applied. Brother Menzik.
I have a question. In the last day of that scenario,
I don't think the Ark of the Covenant is really there. I don't think God is going to allow that Ark. I think at the end of the tribulation period, Israel will find that Ark. I think we'll probably get it maybe when they're going on down to Petra. All right? Because it's kind of on the road somewhat. I'm teaching the book of Revelation this afternoon at 4:30. That's what we're doing. We studied the Mark of the Beast last week. We're going to kind of finish that up tonight. And we're going on through the book of Revelation. We're tripping right along through there. All right, if you want to come at 4:30, I'm teaching that. All right, thank you for your attention today. I hope you learned something from God's Word. That is the last lesson on the tabernacle. Next week, we're going to get into the book of Joshua. Yes, brother.